Public service announcement. I have just temporarily closed the doors to Lifestyle Business School. If you are a current or aspiring expertise-based business that has a business, courses, coaching, masterminds, where you are divorcing your value from your time, or that is the business model that you want, you likely know that Lifestyle Business School is the program that I have been tirelessly working on over the last 6 months to build out 6 comprehensive playbooks, which basically lay out the entire path. It has everything from business model design to offer creation to back-end delivery to driving traffic, live launch campaigns, automated campaigns, everything you could possibly need to start or grow a leveraged expertise-based business to the lifestyle business sweet spot. Now, never fear, because we've only temporarily closed the doors and we have added a wait list. So if you head to lifestylebusiness.school/join, pop your name on the waitlist and you are going to be notified when we open up the doors with everything built out, which is super exciting, and all of the exciting changes that we have made to the program as well, which we will share in due course. But in order to get the special VIP bonuses when we do open the door, I want you to go and pop your name on the waitlist now. So that is going to be lifestylebusiness.school/join. Put your name on the waitlist and you will be the first to be notified when we open up the doors with everything built out, with a lot of exciting changes and with pretty much the best deal under the sun. All right, let's get into today's podcast episode. Welcome to the Lifestyle Business Sweet Spot. My name is Stevie, and this podcast is dedicated to showing you, the ambitious, intelligent, current or aspiring online business owner or course creator, how to build a business that prioritizes time, freedom, happiness, and deep impact over relentless scale at any cost. If you aspire to a business that allows you to impact people at scale whilst working 5-hour days with a lean remote team and high profit margins, this podcast is dedicated to showing you how. Ready to hit the lifestyle business sweet spot? Head to thecoursecartel.com/training and we will send you a completely customized training with the entire path laid out for you. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Lifestyle Business Sweet Spot podcast. I feel like it's such a mouthful to have to say that all the time, but a huge welcome to today's episode. Anyone that has listened to last week's podcast episode would have heard me chatting to Britt Worthington, who is the founder, the one-woman show, well, actually one woman plus 2 employees now, show behind the social Britify. And she has the most amazing Instagram program called Conquer Your Content and also a social media management agency. We spoke to her last week about what was working and what is working on Instagram. And as we were chatting, I decided that we needed to have Britt come onto the podcast more than once, which she was okay with, which is amazing. And so here she is again. Hello, Britt.
Hello. It's not hard to get me to come back. It's not too bad.
We're actually, just for anyone that is listening to this, recording this back to back. I was like, please, can we record another one? And Britt has kindly said yes. So for anyone that hasn't heard of Britt, doesn't know Britt's background, definitely go and listen to last week's podcast episode, because we chatted through the 7 things that are kind of like the what's hot on Instagram at the moment, which I feel is going to be a beautiful accompaniment, I suppose, to this week's podcast episode. As we were recording last week, so I was kind of thinking about how tactical people seem to get with Instagram, and they want to know all of the what's hot, but I feel like we need to temper that with a lot of the things that are Brit's jam, which is how to actually create a Instagram strategy that is both meaningful, has depth, and doesn't feel super heavy to implement. So that's kind of what we're talking about in today's podcast episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds heavier than it's going to be. Don't worry, everyone.
So I think like one of the big things that I know holds up a lot of people, because Instagram obviously used to be my entire business, is feeling like they need to wade through a shite load of content to even know what they need to do. Mm-hmm. So what I want to ask you about in today's podcast episode is more like the, I guess, the operational side of, right, I get that my business needs to be on Instagram. I'm not a full-time influencer or social media manager. How the heck can I start to install some systems into my business so that I'll actually do the things that I know I should be doing on the platform to build my business?
There's so many, like, I'm a systems and processes person, even like the way I lay out my clothes before I go to the gym and preset my coffee in the machine. I was like that in high school and still am. And when I fell into the social media world, it definitely started off for me just kind of slapping together content, again, using those tactical hacks to kind of gain momentum. But as we all know, so much can change on Instagram in, you know, a few days, a few weeks, and it's changed so much in the last few years. So while those tactical things will come and go, you still really need the, you know, concrete foundations of your marketing strategy, which is across all of your social media platforms that you're implementing into your business. But having this really refined and narrowed down will help you to create systems around that strategy and your messaging and what type of content you're going to be using to really streamline and simplify doing it. Just as we would streamline, you know, our bookkeeping process, you wouldn't leave that a hot mess and you wouldn't leave that till the last minute. You really want to have Instagram and your marketing systems in place as well. So not only are you more efficient and it actually gets done, but hopefully you can actually maybe enjoy it, because marketing and marketing yourself, if you're really confident and proud of your business, should be the really fun part of business.
Yeah. So how do we go about actually, because I feel like this brings me back to, you know, that conversation around, like, when I heard about this concept, I was like, this is groundbreaking. Like the distinction between like motivation and discipline. And if you like rely on your own motivation to like go to the gym, for example, it's eventually going to wane, right? And so if you rely just on motivation to do those things like bookkeeping, I think is a perfect example, even though I'm a geek and I love optimizing my books.
I don't
like you're crunchy, right? So if it's kind of like, you know, going to the gym or like bookkeeping, or for some people, Instagram, because even though you and I love the marketing side of things, not everyone does. How do we actually go from like, I need to feel motivated to do this thing, to I'm going to install the systems that give me the discipline to do it, which means regardless of your motivation, you're going to get it done? Because, you know, as much as, you know, we talk about the shiny fun things on Instagram, ultimately we're doing it to grow our business, right? And so we need the discipline to implement the things that are going to allow us to do that. So all of that is to say, how do we do that? Like, what is an example of like the systems, the things that we need to streamline to actually get it done?
Well, definitely you need to, step one, get realistic. So many of us go, okay, I'm going to work on my Instagram strategy this month and I'm going to turn my whole business around and start acting like the business I should be, which generally when you envision a successful, you know, thriving business, maybe you might imagine a business with a whole marketing division. And if you're currently alone, or maybe you have one or two team members, it's likely that you're doing all of the marketing. It's one of the last things that generally gets handed off, especially if you are someone, you're the face of the business, because ultimately, no matter how hard you try to hand it off, whether it's to a marketing assistant or a social media manager, you are still going to need to be able to show up and create the content. Even Kim Kardashian has to come in and film her parts of the show. No one else can do it for her. And she has a lot of stuff. So once you kind of realize, okay, I need to work around the parameters of my lifestyle and my business routine as the way it is, you can basically determine a schedule from there. Also taking into consideration what current phase of your strategy you're in, if you're in that growth phase where you're trying to get more eyeballs on your content, really build your audience, and basically be as visible as possible, or you're in that more maintenance, nurturing zone where you can maybe take a step back on, you know, focusing on really top funnel content. It's really more connecting with your audience and establishing who you are. And then there's that other end of the spectrum, which is the pitching and the selling. Maybe it's a cart open period for you, or you're just offering something particularly new. So once you establish, okay, what's realistic for me, how much content is needed for those different phases for me per week, what can I actually deliver on per week, then you can start to kind of create a cadence for, okay, how much content do I need to actually be able to produce? And the base level for many people is, if they always ask me, how much should I be posting? Generally, that 3 times per week is the base level most people will sit at and be able to maintain. And from there, depending on what content those 3 posts might be, if we use 3 per week as an example, what systems do I need if it's 3 reels? What systems do I need if it's, you know, 2 carousels and an interview live, Instagram live, sorry. And basically having at least that base level of maintenance content and creating systems that help you to generate that content week in and week out.
So what are the systems that help you to do that? Because I think a lot of people go, yep, okay, cool, I'm going to create this plan. I think definitely there can be a level of, I don't know, for me, I'm like, I'm going to post every day and I'm going to do all these things and I end up doing nothing. And it's like, you know, how much time do I actually have to do this stuff? But then I think, like, coming back almost to that discipline versus like motivation thing, you need the systems to actually get it done. Because it's one thing to say, okay, cool, I'm going to do this. And then, like, you might do it once and you're kind of like, oh, it's not really, I don't really know if it's working. I don't know what's going on. And then, because we're business owners, and a lot of the time, you know, we're service-based business owners where we have crunches on our time because we're delivering a service, right? And so the busier we are, the more we have to deliver. And so sometimes, from my perspective, like, things like social media fall off the bandwagon first because we don't have a system. So what does it look like to develop a system? And I'm guessing it's different for different people, right?
That's one of the tricky things about marketing, but Instagram specifically. It depends on your business model, depends on what you've got offering. If you have a specific, you know, promotion, you know, and launch calendar that you follow, or you're just someone that has an evergreen model, there's something always, you know, for sale or available to your audience. So that's definitely one of the most important components, is to really narrow down, okay, what strategy am I moving forward with? Am I moving through, you know, nurturing to having a cart open period, and then I'm just going to cycle that over and over again? Or am I just trying to kind of nurture the audience that I'm at and filter them through the different offers that I have? But basically, you really need to have a system for content ideas and generating content ideas. And it can be something where you have a more, you know, formal blueprint where you've got, you know, maybe your content pillars mapped out and the different topics you want to cover and everything that falls into the different themes there. Or you might be someone that really just kind of works on their own creativity. And I don't mean to say you should rely on your creativity, but if you are someone that comes up with ideas in the shower or while you're driving or you're talking to a client, having a system to store those ideas and also label as, what am I going to use them for? Where do they fall in my strategy? What is this going to help someone with? How is this going to move them along the buying journey? Instead of just letting them float around your mind. And then when the time comes to sit down, to actually create the content, you've got nothing to work from.
That is gold, because that is me, or it's like the old me. I used to have all these ideas and I find that they like fire for me on my morning walks. Like I feel like, and it might be different for different people, but for me, there's something about like physical exercise that just gets my mind like popping with ideas. And so like anyone that sees me like walking along the beach on the Gold Coast in the morning might see me with like my phone up, because I'm like madly writing into my notes app. And it can be as simple as that. Like for me, it's like I just write the notes into my notes app and I don't need to like categorize them or do all of the other things, but it's just sitting there and then it's captured, so that when you get to like, you know, creating it, you're not doing it from a place of, okay, I'm going to sit down and come up with the ideas. That needs to happen before.
Yes, you want to come to your content creation you know, whether it's a time slot, you're doing it for 2 weeks in advance, or you just need to create a post for the next day, whatever it is, you don't want to come to the party with with nothing ready to go, because it's going to feel a lot heavier and harder. And whether you are someone that just, it just needs to be in your notes app, sometimes I even text myself things, or you have a more, you know, I suppose detailed and extensive planner or system in place, whatever that is, you just need to write it down because it's always going to feel really hard if you sit down and you're staring at a blank, you know, piece of paper or a blank document and you're waiting for it to come to you. It will always feel hard that way.
So system number one is that we need like a simple, like literally the notes app, you don't need to get like technical with it, system for capturing ideas. And it's just like capturing those ideas on the fly. Mm-hmm. So that is system one. What else do we need in terms of like getting it done with like a Instagram? Like, I guess the thing I'm thinking about is like installing an Instagram system into your business. So we've got the ideas. What comes next?
Definitely in terms of content creation, you want to get super efficient. I know I, for a fact, am someone that can sit on Canva for maybe a few hours. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to cut down that habit because not only is it not worth the investment of your time for just one Instagram post, it's just a complete waste of time altogether. So some other systems that I implore people to implement, if you are someone that's creating carousels and a lot of graphic content, getting in Canva and really making your whole process in there streamlined. So I like to call it a master file in Canva, and it's got your basically templates ready to go. And I don't recommend always jumping and changing between different designs, always trying to reinvent the wheel with what your content looks like. Create basically a content creation system. So all you need to do is take that idea that you've got and install it into the Canva design, whether it's a carousel or it's a static graphic, and the colors are correct, the font's correct. It's just as simple as getting it ready for posting instead of fluffing around with what color should I make it.
I love that. So we implemented that in our business, and we did this with the rebrand. So like, we didn't have any templates or anything before this point. And I used to find myself doing that. Like, I'd go in, amazing thing about Canva is that there's a gazillion different templates. And so like, you like download a few and then like you're playing with it and like you're trying to like make the text look good. And that is a rabbit hole, let me tell you. And so you can spend like 2 hours putting together this like carousel post, and that feels hard and heavy. We got our designer, but you can literally like, I think you can buy the templates, or there's heaps on Canva. You just have like three. For us, it's like three carousel templates. I, as a content creator, literally just go in there and just write it like I'm writing a blog post. And then when it's done, it's done. And it takes the process from like, it still takes me like maybe 20 minutes to write like a really meaty carousel post. But then it's like it's done. It's not having to like stuff around with creating a whole heap of different graphics. I feel like Canva can be like the ultimate like procrastination, but also like, I don't know, it's like that rabbit hole that you go down and, you know, 2 hours later, you're like, F this, I'm done. Like,
And then nothing gets posted at the end. You want to have like essentially like pre-approved business templates that even like if it was someone that you did eventually hand it off to. This is definitely one of the reasons why I recommend installing these systems now, is because potentially you will want to palm this off to someone else. Having those templates there that you know you like, you know that they look good, they work well. And like Stevie said, you just insert the information and the post is great and it's ready to go.
Yeah. It reminds me of anyone that's read the Denise Duffield Thomas book, Chill and Prosper. She talks about having a keyless life. And so she talks about like, what are all of the areas of your life that you can just go, okay, I need to make this, I need to remove the friction. So like for me in life, I can never find a freaking phone charger. My phone is always dead when I wake up in the morning. And my partner at one stage, he was like, I'm just going to buy you 10 chargers. I'm going to put them around the house. And I was like, that is an example of like having a keyless life. It's like remove that friction point. And I feel like that's a great example of it for Instagram.
Yeah. Take away the hard. Take away like, I mean, it's still a creative thing, creating content, but it can be systemized and you can take, like, I suppose, the rabbit warren out of it and just really make it a thing that you need to tick off your to-do list instead of kind of being like, oh, what if I try this new template? Like, I try not to even look at what Canva has. I just really stick to what I've got because I know I like it. And also, when you're that consistent with your visuals and your identity online, your audience will instantly always recognize your content when they see it, which is another great bonus.
Yep. So I want to go back to something you touched on a little bit before, because I actually think that this is a system in and of itself. And you touched on, like, creating different types of content at different phases of your sales cycle. So, like if you have like a launch model, you know, whether you're a course creator that has that traditional launch model or you're a service provider where you have different points of the year where you promote different things, that is essentially a launch cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating a system around what content you're creating at different stages of your sales cycles. Can you expand on that a little bit? Because I feel like you touched on it and we glossed over it, but I think this is like fundamental and so important for anyone that feels like they're posting Instagram content and hearing crickets.
Mm-hmm. If you're someone that just comes up with an idea and then you post it and that's the strategy, you're not taking your audience on a journey. And the thing is with Instagram, you're always going to have people coming into your audience and flowing out. It's not like, you know, for example, a webinar launch where you get everyone to register, they come to the webinar, then they flow through a chain of sales emails. That's obviously a very linear process. But with Instagram, you're going to have followers that have been following you for maybe months, years, and then you'll have always people trickling in. So to stick very, strongly to, three different phases doesn't work all the time, but I do recommend having content that always is touching across those three different phases and essentially following that funnel model throughout all of your content. And the content that everyone seems to kind of, gloss over, well, actually everyone glosses over everyone. Some people just have like a tendency to fall to one type. I know I love like top of funnel content. For me, that's like really easy for me to generate.
Like top of funnel. Because I reckon there's people that are like, what are you, like that is marketing jargon. And can we?
You're right. Well, think of the funnel as, basically the journey you're taking everyone on. You're going to have most people at the top of your funnel coming in and you want to get as many people moving their way down that funnel. So literally imagine an upside down triangle and all of your followers are coming in at the top. That's when they discover you. That's when they first become aware of you and essentially, they're becoming a lead in your business. So that type of content is where you're really introducing the problem to them. Maybe the piece of content they found you through is, they learned something new about a problem that they've been having for ages, or, you opened their eyes up about a new potential solution to something. And that type of content is generally sometimes the easiest for a lot of people to create, but they won't keep creating more content that, moves people down the funnel. So that middle of the funnel content is where you're really positioning yourself as the absolute go-to, the expert. You're creating more content that is positioning your offer as the one that's going to be right for them. And then again, moving them down again, hopefully you've got as many people still following you down on that journey to where you're creating that more conversion content. It's when you're doing the more, salesy type content. I'm trying to use salesy and stop saying it's a dirty word because it's definitely not. Nothing wrong with selling, nothing wrong with wanting to make sales, but it is, that pointy end of the funnel. And people tend to either go to one part of the funnel and forget the others. And that's where you end up posting to crickets because you're not taking anyone on a journey. You're not giving them the information they need to make decisions and, want to actually work with you as well.
Yeah, you're so right. Some people go like bottom of funnel and they're, just like book a call or like got this blah, blah, blah. And I feel like it's that real just like using Instagram as like a sales tool and people just be like, I do not want that because that.
Yeah.
But then there's the other side that like almost get like top of funnel like friend zoned where it's like I'm just providing so much content and like so much how-to content and all this sort of thing. And then they're never actually going to get people to buy, or they're never going to get people invested in like them as a brand, as opposed mm-hmm. to like any other person doing whatever on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is like create all three, but then mm-hmm. the system behind that, I guess, is like knowing what content to create when.
Yes.
Can you speak to what that would look like for, I guess there's different types of businesses, right? Like there's the mm-hmm. launch model business, and then there's people that are just selling their things all the time. Mm-hmm. What does it look like for the different business types?
Definitely without falling into the trap of just creating this type of content, but top of funnel content is going to be what helps to generate leads for your business when you get to that stage of selling and pitching to them. So it is an important stage. You don't want to get stuck there though. So once you move down from top of funnel content, you're moving through to that nurturing and positioning phase. And this is the phase I've like really ended up loving after I moved on from my top of funnel obsession. And this is where...
What's top of funnel? Like what's an example like, of like a piece of top of funnel content?
Like quick win tips, like, you know, how to's.
Yeah.
Very like... People see it and they go,
now on Instagram.
Yeah. people like, see it and they go, oh, great.
Yeah.
Like yeah. And they love it.
Yep.
But like you said, that type of content doesn't really make people motivated to like do anything. They'll take that advice and go, great. That's what I learned from, you know, them. And now I'm done. So what you actually need to do from there, now you've captured their attention, is moving them to the nurturing phase, which is positioning you and positioning your offer as the thing that's actually going to help them get from point A to point B. So it can look different for every business. Every stage is going to be different lengths. Definitely your top of funnel length is going to be long. If you are really starting from that basis of you haven't got a lot of people interested in your, in your audience at the moment, there's no point going to, you know, posting polls about, you know, booking calls and getting in on your offers, because they're just, there's just not enough eyeballs essentially on your content. The nurturing phase is, you know, probably one of the longer phases as well. It's really important. This is when you really want your audience to become infatuated with you. So content that's really, you know, authority positioning, thought leadership, builds that trust, and shifts their eyes, especially if they're in that stage where they're looking at different options, it shifts their eyes off competitors and really narrows you as the choice, even if they're not sure that they want to purchase or buy yet. And that pitching and selling phase is just, you know, the pointy end where there's going to be a lot more content that is really, you know, urgency building, getting people to take action. And that can work for both, you know, live launching and also an evergreen model as well. You still want to have that time when it's like, this is all I'm talking about. This is where I want you to be going. And having like one main focus for each of those different stages of the funnel is really important too.
Yeah. So if you're in a launch phase, you would kind of like step through them almost in order. So it would be like mm-hmm. top of funnel content, then into, well, it's like top and middle funnel content. And then once you get to cart open, it would be that like bottom of funnel, like I'm guessing like testimonials, case studies, like all of mm-hmm. them that would get people to buy. Yep. And then if you're just like on what is what you would call evergreen in course land, but you know, if you're just selling things all the time, you're doing a mixture of all of those types of content at all times, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the tricky bit. And then that's where people end up getting nothing out of their content, because they're just either sticking in one zone and actually they've actually got a, you know, really warm audience there that they're not selling to, or they've got, you know, a super cold audience that isn't familiar with them and they're not doing enough of the nurturing. So you can actually bounce around. It's really important that you've got coverage on all of those different aspects. And that's why just coming up with an idea and posting every single day is not as effective as, you can still generate ideas as they come, but make sure when you're mapping them out, you're getting, you know, every single stage of the buyer's journey in there.
I actually think like last week's podcast episode with you, then this week's, and then like the challenge you have coming up is almost like an example. So if I was to, like, what is working now on Instagram? I was like, I know that is going to be a really popular podcast topic because people just froth on that. They're like, yeah, mm-hmm. I want to know that. But everyone kind of talks about that type of content if you're in Instagram, right? So like, I think that's such a perfect example of like top of content. You want to do it. It's almost like in a way, kind of like commodity content because everyone's doing it. It's not making you different. This week's podcast episode, we're talking about like installing Instagram systems that actually make the way that you create your content and make sales on Instagram feel more seamless. That is your unique way of doing things. Like other Instagram people aren't talking about like, you know, you don't need the theory of Instagram. You can make it work for you and you can install some systems into your business. So that would be like an example of like middle of funnel content where it's like thought leadership and pulling you away from like the Instagram pack. And then I'm just trying to like give people like a really tangible example of it all. And then like the challenge that you've got coming up is going to be like your sales content still providing value, but then you've got something for sale essentially. And so it's all super valuable, but it's all at different times and it's all doing like, it's almost like every piece of content is this little soldier with a different job.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's the mistake. People throw out posts, especially if you've got not so much that linear launch model, you do, you know, have more of an evergreen system. They kind of just throw out posts all the time without having like, okay, what action, what is the one thing I would want my audience to do after they saw this? And if you just simplify it like that, you can really understand what that, where that content is falling in terms of what is this, what is the purpose of this? It's so easy just to create a fun tips and tricks reel. And I definitely experienced that when I had nothing to sell. I was just living my best life up in top of funnel content. But when I had something to sell, I had to really think, okay, I need to showcase why me, why my thing. And that's a very critical stage that people can miss off the radar before jumping into the sales side of things.
Yeah. And I feel like you could kind of know where you sit, like if you're too heavy on one type or the other by like what's happening. So like if you're creating like a whole heap of like content that is like tips and like value and people are loving it, but like you've got crickets in your bank account, it's probably a sign that you need to go a little bit heavier on the sales side of things. But if you're not getting like any engagement and you're not getting any growth or whatever, you're probably a little bit too deep on the sales side, or maybe the top or middle funnel content isn't resonating. Would that be right?
Yeah. It's very common for people to almost go too, I mean, I did it speaking on this podcast, too, you know, technical with your jargon and too deep and heavy trying to attract new people into your funnel, into your audience. But that lighter content that is easy to digest, people understand immediately what you're talking about, their eyes are open to, you know, some new solution, some new problem, or just you as a business, that a lot of people will skip over that because they just think, oh, I need to tell people how much, you know, knowledge I have to share, how, you know, how helpful I am, which is great. But there's got no one to then pitch to and sell to when the time comes to actually do that.
I love that. All right. So what about the actual content creation process in terms of like how to take these ideas and, you know, now we have like clarity around like what we need to be posting when. Then we sit down to actually do the damn thing. Do you have any tips around what works best in terms of systems to install for that?
Everyone in this department works very differently, and it's really important to flow with what you actually are good at and like what works well for your creativity and also productivity. But just, you know, what actually feels good to do over and over again, because like there's no point going to all this effort, installing the systems, nailing out your strategy, committing to it publicly. Some people are like, I'm going to, you know, this week I'm back, guys, I'm showing up every single day. And then, you know, they last 3 days and you don't see them again. I see it all the time. And it's like, because you have a
thing there. So if you like commit to saying that you're going to do something and you like put it out there, you've gotten the accolades for saying you're going to do it before you've done it. It's actually like a psychological thing. And then like, anyway.
Yes, and that can work, but you still need to have the systems to back you to get there.
Yep.
And so, basically deciding, okay, what is my posting, you know, volume? What type of content am I focusing on in this phase that I'm currently in? And then basically deciding if you're a content batcher or you're a more, you know, low-key, you might be day before, you know, week of type of person. Ooh. And they both work really well. Some people love to sit down with their ideas once they've got everything planned out, mapped out. They've got, you know, their goals in place. They know what they're talking about. They can jump into Canva, pump out, you know, 10 carousels. They can go and film 10 reels and they will go to bed at night and just be like, yes, I'm sorted. And I started off like that and then realized I was lying to myself, because what I ended up doing was, before the post was meant to go live, going back and changing it or changing the reel, or I found a better audio to do this. And I was doubling my workload. I was doing everything twice and it just wasn't working for me. So what I, you know, changed to instead, which works for a lot of people, that if you're generally like working by yourself and you're not, you know, with a team that are relying on you, this can work. Is still doing a lot of the planning and strategizing around, you know, what content ideas am I needing to be focusing on? What themes do I need to be talking about at the moment? Having that set in stone, but allowing the way you generate that content and the vehicles you choose to get it out there come to you more in the moment. And this is where the system's really, really key. So having those Canva templates organized, having B-roll footage in a folder ready to go, having everything, you know, creative systems in place that you can just be like, okay, this is the idea for tomorrow. This is the vehicle I'm going to choose to get it out there. Good, done. And then you don't think about it for 2 weeks and be like, oh, I would change this about it. You just get it out there.
I love that. And it's actually quite controversial to say that you shouldn't be batching like 30 days of content. I feel like everyone says batch your content.
Oh, when I first started saying that I didn't batch content, I mean, I do for my social media management clients, just on the record. Do not work on the fly for clients. But for my own personal creativity and I suppose zest for Instagram, I wanted to talk about the things on my mind. I wanted to share something that had just happened or a story. I wanted to keep my presence very authentic and real. And if you're, I think, more on the personal brand side of things, you're the face of the business, that performs a lot better than, like, people can tell when there's a post that's been scheduled for like four weeks. If it's not, like, especially depending on your industry, if it's not a topic of the moment, it's not the word on the street, like, people will be like, okay, great, cool. But if you're like, you know, on stories all day, you were with a certain client, you were doing this sort of thing, and then the next day you had a full carousel explaining what happened, like, that's so cool. You're bringing your audience along on that journey. It feels way more real and social, social media. So
I think, like, the energetics behind it, like, I just think sometimes when you're trying to come up with like 30 days of content, you're just energetically drained by the end and it reflects in your content. Yes. Whereas, like, I have these like moments of inspiration, like I said, when I go for my walks and stuff. And like sometimes, like, I'll just be so just like, yes, I need to like share this, right? And that, and as long as you, like, to your point, you're creating like the keyless social media life to like make that easy for yourself, then it's not like, it doesn't feel like there's not the friction behind it. It's like, I just need to get this up. And I think, like, I don't know, there's, I find this in like with our Launchpad program, you know, when people look at all of the things that are involved in creating an online course, they almost don't even get started. And so, you know, they're just looking at the end result and then like the overwhelm word comes in. And I imagine it's the same with Instagram. It's like, if you feel like you need to create all this content, it's like, well, I'm just going to do none of it. But if you're just like, you know, I just need to do today's when the moment of inspiration strikes and I've done all the things to make it easy for myself, then I just have to do it.
Yeah, it can be as simple as 15 to 20 minutes. Like, once you have the systems in place and once you have that clarity that you need, and it comes from like your own confidence in what you're selling, your own confidence in your, you know, your unique proposition, in your positioning in the market. Once you have that really solidified, like, it, you just kind of have this internal like urgency to talk to your audience and it comes out, and you can do that through your content. Yeah. And that's when you kind of get this like real flow and it becomes really fun, dare I say.
Yeah. And so I guess, like, to touch on just a final point there, I feel like you keep like dropping additional things in, but you touched very quickly on the idea of like having a clear idea of your point of difference, who you are as a business and all of those sorts of things. I feel like that is a system you need to get sorted first and foremost, because that stops a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's probably the final system that I would love you to talk to.
Yeah. So many people, I literally got, I did a, one of my students, she'd done the first few modules of the course, and I think maybe she was expecting it to be like how to film a reel. And there's stuff in that as well. But it stepped her through more understanding who she was talking to. And she had literally never defined that as a business owner. And that's normal, because a lot of us, like, I fell into business accidentally. You might be doing freelance work for someone else, or contractor work for someone else. Then you kind of go off on your own. You're like, wait, I haven't really defined who my audience is. I haven't really defined who this is for. And without that really important first crucial step, you're really going to struggle finding what content is going to work for that, finding what messaging is going to land with your audience. And really analyzing even your own audience's behaviors, how they speak, what they resonate with. And she was like, oh, this is why they haven't been booking calls with me. This is why they're not interested in what I have to offer, because I'm not talking about what they actually want to hear about. I'm talking about what I want to talk about, which is fine, but that doesn't make you any sales. So it's a really critical first step in a strategy.
So you're saying, this is groundbreaking, people, I want you to hear this, it's not just about what you do on Instagram. You actually need like a foundational marketing plan underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Bum, 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 bum. I feel like this is why I like your stuff, Ruth, because I feel like I have been like trying to say this to people for years, but it's very easy to get caught up in the sexy side and not just do those like foundational, it's those timeless foundational principles. Yeah. Who am I talking to? What is it that they have as their problem? How are they saying that in their words? Mm-hmm. Like, these are all of the things that sell online courses, and I would imagine everything.
Yeah. We always jump to like wanting to kind of talk about our expertise and like how great it is that, you know, whatever problem it is you solve. But all your audience knows right now is what they're struggling with and what's frustrating them right now. And another one I think about a lot is, what have they tried that hasn't worked, and what's annoying them? What have they wasted money on so far? What have they wasted time on so far? And really when you find out that information, that is like really where you can like run with that through all of your content. And that's when you really get that engagement and you get those conversations starting in your DMs, because your audience is like, oh my God, like you know me. You can like, you know, hear my thoughts. You know what I'm struggling with. And they resonate with that way more than the technical detail or, you know, the functions of whatever it is that you're actually offering. They just want someone to hear them and to connect with them, because, again, it's still a social media platform. And they are there not really to be sold to. They're there to learn something new, connect with someone, and hopefully that's you.
Yeah. And if you can show like what your better way is. So, you know, I love, and I want to pull out like when you said you've got to be clear on like what hasn't worked for them. Mm-hmm. And because like they're the things that are keeping them stuck. So like they might have a problem around, you know, to use online courses as an example, they might have a problem around like they've tried to create this online course and it hasn't sold. And it's like, well, that's what hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're obviously selling something which is a solution to their problem. So you're selling something that does work. So then you can be saying, you know, using the example of online courses, you could say, well, you shouldn't be doing what you were doing before that hasn't worked, which is creating your course and like selling to creators. You should actually create it ahead of time using their insights. And then once they believe that to be true, then they're ready for whatever it is that you have to sell. So I think that's a really important takeaway, Britt. So thank you for sharing that. I think that's like the missing piece and the nuance in like messaging and marketing, and the reason why you need to get that sorted so that you can layer all the sexy Instagram things on top, because that's the difference between creating content for content's sake and like selling your stuff, which is ultimately what we want to do.
Yeah. Right? Creating content will always be hard if you don't have those fundamentals in place and you don't know how to concisely be able to articulate it yet.
Yep.
It will always be hard to like make that, you know, into a reel or into a carousel, because that's the technical, tactical stuff that we need to layer on top, but need to be able to come to the party at least with, you know, really clear messaging that is proven to resonate with your audience.
And you know, the good thing is, for anyone that's listening that's like, oh my God, another thing, you actually only have to do the deep work on that once.
Yes.
Like, yes, you tweak it over time as circumstances change, but once you have that, that unlocks the potential to not only kill it on Instagram, but to kill it on any like marketing channel that sits on top of that foundational strategy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, incredible. So for anyone that is going, yeah, cool, okay, how do I do that? I know that this is really your jam, and specifically, you know, really understanding how to create a marketing plan that Instagram tactics sit on top of, mm-hmm. and how to do it in a way that feels aligned to you and isn't just like blurting out that you've got to batch 30 days of content and all these things that might not feel aligned. You have your challenge coming up. I know we talked about it briefly last week. If you haven't registered for it yet, get on it, guys. It is probably around the time that this podcast comes out. I'm going to put the link into the show notes. It's completely free. Mm-hmm. Britt, what are people going to learn at the challenge?
Well, just like everyone wants, we are going to do some of the sexy stuff. Don't worry. We're going to give you some ready to implement content, you know, secrets basically. If you do really want to just have a better understanding of what's working right now, but we are also going to dive into really zhuzhing your strategy, refining it, you getting some clarity on, you know, where the leaky holes are, what's going wrong on your audience's, you know, journey to, you know, finding out about you, to actually working with you, and also a deeper understanding on those different sales cycles. So you can set up your Instagram strategy and have your content, you know, creating sales for you on autopilot. It's not always this big slog. And I actually share with you the exact yearly map out of those different cycles, and they include various two-week breaks off Instagram altogether. So if you want to find out how you can sign out of Instagram altogether, definitely turn up to the challenge.
I feel like everyone's going to be like, yeah. Coming just so that I, when's that 2 week break again?
You're going to put them in your calendar and it's happening.
Yeah. And I think like this is like how you create the little soldiers mm-hmm. that like work for you. You know, like all your little Instagram content pieces have a different function. And sometimes it can be like, yeah, I get that, but how do I actually put it into a map? Mm-hmm. Definitely come along to Britt's challenge. What date does it kick off, Britt?
June 26th.
June 26th. If you're mm-hmm. listening, you know, a couple of days later, I think you'll still be able to get into it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the link is in the show notes. So click on there, head over, register. And for anyone that's listening a little bit later, head to the social Britify on Instagram. You don't have any like weird full stops like my Instagram handle.
No, so it's a made up word. So I got pretty lucky.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you so much, Britt. I know that this is going to be helpful to a lot of people that, yeah, just are on that Instagram hamster wheel, wondering how that they can get off it and install some systems to make it more efficient. I appreciate you and thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you liked today's episode, make sure you click the little plus button on Apple Podcasts or the follow button on Spotify so that you get new episodes to your device every single week. And if you're a current or aspiring course creator ready to hit the lifestyle business sweet spot, head to www.thecoursecartel.com/training and we will send you the complete roadmap. It will all be laid out for you.